Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years' experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver Body Shop, or VO.
BS.
And I'm sure we'll have a lot of that tonight.
Why?
Well, because
why particularly tonight?
Well, why should tonight be different from any other right. Monday night here? Yeah. Well, but we do have a great show, as we do every Monday night right here at VOBS.TV.
Yep.
And we're going to, you know, answer your questions. We're going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff. But we have a great guest tonight who just got here, actually drove all the way from Vegas to be here.
Just to be here on time for us.
Just to be here on time.
Pulled in 2 minutes before 6 o'clock.
That's right. It was raining heavy here in L.A.
Yeah.
Which is really unusual, but we'll take it. And I have a new theory about California.
All right. Shoot.
I now understand that there is the gravity here is apparently much stronger than everywhere else in the world. And that's why people walk very slowly across the street.
So my theory is that people are just hoping they'll get hit so they can raise a lawsuit and pay off their student loans.
That may be it as well. Yeah, that's probably the more correct theory. Anyway, Adam Harrington will be with us tonight. This guy's funny. He does character voices. He teaches. Mm-hmm. He works on demos. He does it all, and he was, and not only does he do it all, he spent 3 weeks with Dave Fennoy in the Horn of Africa and the far in the Near East, in Dubai and Abu Dhabi and places like that. So we'll ask him about that and talk about his career and any advice he might have for any of you. So feel free to ask him any questions if that comes up. Let's see what else. You and I are going to talk about processing. And stacks.
Stacks.
Talk about our philosophies with that. Mm-hmm. And after the show, don't go because we still have a Mugman to show.
Yay!
A brand new Mugman.
Mugman's back.
Jacob has been just prolific with Mugman in the last few weeks. So there's
we got a
real funny one tonight. And but right now, as is usually our case at this time of the day on Monday night, it's time for the VoiceOver Extra News.
Excellent.
Now, today's topic, the World Voices Organization, which yesterday, November 1st, went live with its much-anticipated personal studio technical certification program for professional members. That's going to keep us busy. Also known as WOVO, the organization also recently held its annual meeting, conveniently online, and we have achieved a milestone of 550 members. As a helicopter goes by.
Awesome.
If you are a member of World Voices, you are undoubtedly very proud of it. I know I am. And if you haven't joined yet, if you don't belong, well, perhaps you should or should aspire to become a member. And here's why. World Voices was founded and is run entirely by volunteers, full-time voice actors who have a tireless passion for this business, setting guidelines for voiceover professionalism and helping its members succeed. Now, the organization's progress in just a few short years is remarkable in many areas, and in particular in helping you find voice jobs through our wonderful site, voiceover.biz, and ensuring your audio quality is the best possible. For instance, for audio, the Technical Certification Committee of you, myself, Uncle Roy, I know you're out there, and Cliff Zellman, we will be looking over people's submissions for audio quality and certifying them. And, you know, if you're a Vovo member, go to the main page and check out technical cert. Mm-hmm. Now, as for finding jobs, it's not our job to help you find jobs, but Vovo's exclusive member-only online casting site, voiceover.biz, lets voice seekers browse members' demos and then invite as many as five or even more professional voice actors to audition for the projects. Or just find them and just ask them, hey, I want you. From there, communication is entirely between the voice seeker and voice actor, including private negotiation of rates and stuff. And speaking of rates, the projects must meet a minimum budget amount of $250 for corporate industrial recordings and use of fair market rates for TV or radio. All in all, if you're not a member of worldvoices.org, check it out at world-voices.org. You will be impressed. And remember to catch the daily voiceover news on VoiceOver Extra. Now, George, you have a story.
I do have a story tonight. I hope it's interesting. I haven't read it yet.
Well, so here we go. Here you go. Read it
just
carefully.
Kidding. I actually did rehearse tonight. But I shouldn't have said that because now I've set myself up for failure. anyway.
I can slow it down for
the
you.
The announcer here. Voice. That's the story. That sales pitchy voice of God style that was so popular years ago is no longer the norm in voiceover. But it is really, is it really dead? Well, let's find out. Yes and no. While there is undeniable evidence that the announcer voice is used less and less frequently, there are some interesting factors at play about why this is happening and what about what the future holds for this traditional style of voiceover. Let's first look at why this style of voiceover is declining. Is it really declining?
Okay,
well, the whole confident and self-assured voice is... In the past, the announcer voice was valued for its confident, self-assured style that could sell just about anything. Now, however, audiences, and especially those in the coveted 18 to 30 years old demographic, don't want to be sold to. They want to be talked to, and they want to have it in a non-salesy, conversational manner. The announcer voice smacks of corporate dominance, and for millennials, this is a huge turnoff. Because of this, there has been a move to voiceovers that are more conversational in nature. The conversational style is much more appealing to younger generations, which is who the majority of advertisers are trying to reach. But look who's buying. Again, though, the question is raised, is the announcer voice dead? While some may argue that it's dying, it's not quite dead yet. It just smells funny. There's still a large segment of society that appreciates and responds to the announcer style in advertising. And more importantly, it's the older generations who value this style that have the buying power right now in America. Well, I can speak from experience on that one.
Yep.
The millennials are more unemployed and underemployed than ever. They have less money and are more reluctant to spend what they do have. Data like this is what a marketing strategist take note of, and while which may ultimately change the way they communicate with consumers. And once this happens, it won't be too surprising if we see a return in the familiar confidence of announcer style voiceover.
God
so
willing.
It could come back.
It may come back. Everything is cyclical.
It is cyclical.
Business,
it's true.
You know, and that was written by our good friend, Rick Lance.
Rick.
The voice of Americana.
Oh, yeah. He knows of what he speaks.
He does, because he has quite the announcer voice. Mm-hmm. And I was trained by the last great generation of voice, of radio people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took me years to not look at a microphone and talk like this.
Mm-hmm. That takes practice.
It does. Years of practice. Anyway.
It takes years to develop the voice and then years to untrain your voice from doing that. Sound.
Yes. And I'm finally learning how to do that. So that's actually pretty cool. But those are the stories from VoiceOver Extra. Your daily VoiceOver Extra is all the VoiceOver news you could possibly use in any way, shape, or form. John Florian has it right there. So go over to VoiceOverExtra.com and subscribe there and read the news.
So we're going to do that chat. We're going to do a chat room check-in coming up in a little bit.
That's right. So if you're in the chat room, we're going to actually put the chat room on the screen, and we're going to see what people are saying. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be about 30 seconds behind, but we'll see how it works. Anyway,
it'll be exciting.
Yeah. So if you have something interesting to say, now would be the time to do it. Anyway, we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Adam Harrington is our guest. We'll be with him in just a little bit. So do not go away. We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
You're listening to VOBS. You're listening to VOBS.
All right, we are back.
Yeah.
Harlan Hogan, is that who we're talking about now?
He's been with us a long time.
I guess it's my turn. So yeah. Let me swing my Harlan Hogan mic into the shot.
There you go.
Yes. Very, very handsome I am with my Harlan Hogan mic. Harlan Hogan, he's been our sponsor since way before VoiceOver Body Shop, back when we were doing EWABs. And the reason he's been here is because he is a guy who brings products specifically for the voiceover actor and really nothing else. He focuses on that. He's one of the first to do it, and he does it well. He doesn't just sell products that are known on the internet to be great for voiceover. He actually innovates and creates some of his own products. So that is unique, and I love that about Harlan. But let me focus on something tonight. Well, I've got the Harlan Hogan VO1A. You can't miss it. It's the mic we use on the show every week, so you can hear how really great this mic sounds. But we thought we would talk about the headphones tonight, and I have them right over here. These are the Harlan Hogan Voice Optimized Headphones, or the VOH, right?
Signature Series.
Signature Series, yeah. That's right. So they look a little bit familiar, right? They sort of resemble in size and shape of some of the other headphones you've seen out there, maybe Sony, maybe. But they really take the things that I don't like about the Sonys and get rid of those issues. One of them is that the Sonys fall apart after a few years. The headbands fall apart. The ear cups start to disintegrate, and they get black stuff all over you. Also, I find the Sonys to be extremely harsh and bright. I call it the ice pick in the forehead effect. And these correct all those problems by giving you a way, way smoother sound. They're much flatter on the top end, not overly bright. And the ear pads on these are actually leather. They have a leather ear pad. They're not going to wear out for years. And they have a leather headband, I should say. They also have a really interesting cord on them. They start out straight, which is what a lot of people kind of like in a studio. They don't want it to have a long coily thing. But then it gives you a section of coily at the end. So it's kind of a best of both worlds. You don't have the coily thing at the headphone kind of getting in your way, but you have a little bit of give at the other end. So, I mean, this is just a headphone that came from years of frustration of using the other guy's headphones, and Harlan. I think he knocked it out of the park with this one. You can even, of course, you have the interchangeable headphone adapter that comes with it. So check these out. If you want to try out a new pair of headphones, if you're tired of the ones you're using, or you just want to try something completely different, give them a shot. He does have a return policy that's really excellent. Give them some time. They sound different from just about any other pair of headphones you've probably used. But if you do want to check them out, you can go to our own website. You can scroll to the bottom, and you'll see a picture of Harlan standing in front of the porta booth. If you click on that, he knows that we sent you. And just tell him we said hi, and check out the website. It's over at voiceoveressentials.com. All the good stuff is there, voiceoveressentials.com.
Thanks, Harlan.
Hey, baby. You're the best. Man.
All right.
What are we doing now?
What are we doing? Well, now we're going to go into the chat room.
Right in? Right into the chat room? Right. Oh, I thought we were doing the processing and stacks part first.
No, we're going to go in the chat room first. Then we'll go into processing and
stacks.
Okay,
we'll flip it around then.
Okay.
Isn't that why we read the rundown before?
I know, but that's what I... But you changed it around. I wrote it this afternoon. I said we were doing the chat room first.
Cool, cool. Well, okay. Let's see if there's actually anybody in the chat room.
Well, I'm sure there is.
Let me grab the chat room. Somebody texted me. Let's see who texted me. Hey, it's Rick Wasserman, one of our past guests. Think he knew we were talking about him, Adam.
Yeah, because you left a mic on.
His ears were burning. He's like, he's asking a text. Oh, this has nothing to do with the show. I thought he texted in a question. This is actually his own personal technical issue. Rick, you've been on the show. You know we're on the live on the show right now, man. Come on. That's hilarious. I'll get back to Rick later. Okay. Rick is one of my tech support guys.
Oh, we got look at all the friends we have. Anthony, of course, is running the show tonight. Dave yep. Smith, Denny, Ed VO, let's see, Eric Hernandez from Richmond, mm-hmm. Texas. How did he get such a long name in there?
I don't know.
Jeremy Stone, John Florian. You're actually watching the show, John? John Taylor. John, where have you been?
Yeah, John.
Karen O'Brien, Catherine Curdin, our wonderful producer, Carrie Donovan. There are so many people in there.
It's awesome.
Steve Tardio's in there. So what are people saying here? What do we got?
Well, Karen's giving a shout out to the chat room, of course.
Hey, chat room.
Somebody's drinking gin.
All right. That's good to know.
Steve Tardio says, do I have to wear headphones?
No, you don't have to wear headphones.
Doug Turkel, everybody's talking about alcohol tonight for some reason.
It's some leftover. Do you think
maybe they thought we were drunk when we came on the show tonight?
It sounded like it.
Steve Tardio asked, "What's the best way to break in the Harlan Hogan headphones? To break them in? I don't know if they need a lot of break in, but the best way I think is just to put on some music, like a playlist on iTunes or something. Crank them up pretty loud and
Iron Maiden.
Just stick them under a pillow because you don't want to hear these things all night. Just let them play all night. I mean, that's what people that do break-in on headphones do, right?
Yep.
That's probably the best way I can think of.
Yep.
When you break in a pair of headphones, you're taking the little drivers inside. They're pistons, right? They're magnets. And you're kind of loosening them up so that they will respond better. Right.
Sometimes in manufacturing, they need to be released. And once they do, you go, wow, that sounds a heck of
a lot better. They really change, yeah. They can sometimes start a little tubby or kind of mid-range whatever,
right.
And then the sound just opens up.
Right.
That's a good question.
All righty.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Does it sound like every adult on Charlie Brown? What, the headphones? Oh, man. All right. Well, this is what happens when we dive into the chat room and they don't even know we're coming. Yeah. So watch out, you guys. No matter what you say, we could actually use it against you.
That's right. We may just jump into it any time.
Yeah, we just blew Karen's mind by telling you you might have to break in headphones.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks chat room for being there.
So much
you guys,
for the chat room.
You guys make it fun. No, that's you guys really do make the show fun.
We don't want you guys to think that because we're totally out here in California now mm-hmm. that we have forgotten our friends out on the East Coast and in
everywhere
and,
else
and you know and
flyover country, flyover states.
You know, Chicago, Dallas. We know there's people watching in Dallas,
London, England,
Sydney, Australia.
Oh. Actually, Mike's pointing at me.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, but it's great that we have this worldwide audience, and we're thrilled that you're there in the chat room paying absolutely no attention to us in any way, shape, or form.
It is literally a show within a show.
It really is. So,
one time I made the mistake of actually showing the chat room on the show, like a lower third, and they were like, no, this is private stuff.
210 shows, and that's the only time we did that. And now we know why. Yeah. Anyway. Interesting thing this week, because I've been visiting a lot of people in their home studios here across the valley.
You live in the studio zone.
I live in the studio zone, just next to Studio City, where there are lots of studios. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that a lot of people may be a little bit behind in the technology. Obviously, a lot of people still using external preamps because they said some engineer told me to put it in. Or my audio guy, I paid him a lot of money, and he says, here, you need one of these.
Or the guy at Sweetwater said, I need this piece of equipment.
That's right. Never go into Sweetwater or any of the retail stores not knowing what you want. Know what you want when you walk in there. Anyway, one of the most interesting things I'm finding is a lot of people have they use processing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that most of them have no idea why.
Right.
Well, they know why they use it, but they don't necessarily know how to use it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have stacks, but if, say, you set a stack for them in Twisted Wave, or I set a stack for them in Twisted Wave.
Let me just explain real quick what a stack is. Right?
Define a stack.
Yeah, so a stack is a terminology lifted from Twisted Wave, and now we're kind of making it a general term for any processing we do in post. But it's the ability to create a preset that has multiple different processing steps that is loaded as a recall, and you just click it, and
one click, it's done. And it does it.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a stack.
Right. But, you know, we've been doing that for a number of years. You've been doing it for a number of years. Yeah. If somebody moves their studio, say they're in one closet and they buy a whisper room, or they're in a whisper room and they get rid of their whisper room and they go back in the closet.
Yeah.
That stack is now null and void, isn't
it? Pretty much, yeah.
And that's what I've been running into. People have been moving their studios, and they said, well, George set this stack. And I'm like, well, you're not where you were.
The big difference is the bass response a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Bass response and noise floor.
Right.
Like you'll go from a quiet space to a noisy space or back the other way. But the bass response is, if you start in a really small space, they're very boomy.
Right.
So you have to process the heck out of that low end to get it out of there. Right. Then you go into a nice big open room, an open space, and it sounds very thin.
Thin, right, exactly.
And vice versa. Right. If it starts thin and you go into the closet, it can get really super boomy. Right.
So when someone asks you for a stack, and I don't want you to give away any of your trade secrets on this sort of thing.
Well,
what do you do when they say, I want this to sound great?
Well,
what do you tell
them? This is super, super subjective, right?
Of course.
I mean, you're basically trusting your sound to my ears and my experience and as to what I think the person that's hiring you might want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, again, very, it's a very subjective
because
thing.
Because you don't hire you.
Right, right. And so I tried to get in the mind of the person that would be hiring you on that kind of a read. So the stacks are kind of specific to a genre.
Right.
Like I wouldn't use the same stack on an audiobook as I would use on a commercial, for example.
Right.
Be pretty different.
Right.
Now, if you can't justify, if you're just getting started and you're like, I just need something, I will make a stack that's very middle of the road. You know, it doesn't have a lot of anything, tons of EQ or anything. I'll just do a really, just to raise up the overall average level a little bit, maybe filter out the low end rumble and junk in the recording. And that's about it. Right. That'd be a basic one.
Right. But it's always best to make everything, all the acoustical stuff, it's mostly physical stuff that you can deal with physically before you ever hit record.
Yeah, I can't fix a lot of acoustical problems.
Right.
But the only thing you can fix with a little bit of EQ is, again, if it's boomy or muddy.
And right.
When I say boomy, it's like when you talk, it just sounds like a subwoofer in your room. It's just boomy. And then I can kind of, you can compensate that
a little bit,
for a little bit. But other than that, yeah, if it's too live or reverberant or reflective or diffuse or hollow or any of that stuff, you got to fix that up front. Can't fix it in post.
Yeah, I'm finding that now I'm keeping things very, very simple. That's always been my philosophy.
Sure.
And usually, if I'm going into somebody's studio and they're like, "I need to set this so it sounds great," I'm like, "Well, get your levels right. Let's adjust the acoustics. Okay, there's a slight, you know, maybe a little bit of bass reflex in here.
Or bounce off the copy stand.
Or bounce off, those sorts of things.
You have your mic on a desk and it's bouncing off the desk.
That's when I say, here's a new mic stand, get it off the desk. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how bad that can make your audio sound. It's always good to have your mic stand on the floor. Very important. But usually it's just some very minor EQ, just maybe rolling off the low end a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little sibilance adjustment.
Just a little bit.
If you're on a Rode NT1A.
Right. You know,
which is like, how many times have you heard a Rode NT1A? I mean, 100, 200?
Yeah.
Hundreds of times. That's got to be the most popular voiceover mic ever for the beginner voice actor.
Yeah. A lot of people buying the VO1As.
I mean, I hear these, man, but those Rode NT1As.
Yeah.
And they're so sibilant. So bright.
Yeah,
so I'm always like adjusting that.
Just that little tiny bit there. And those are the adjustments you make. Mm-hmm. Processing, again, is not to make you sound fantastic. It's to adjust for the room to allow you to sound as natural as possible.
Yeah.
Going back to what Rick was saying, you know, Rick Lance was saying about the announcer voice.
Mm-hmm.
if you have a naturally great sounding voice, that's what you want it to come out as. You don't want to enhance it. You don't want to take away from it. You want it to, you want to capture it and have it reproduced as you exist.
Yeah. And if you happen to be doing a promo, you know, a promo read where you're going for a really specific style,
right?
There is certain kinds of processing that are, that might be used on promo. It might be a little bit more compressed. There are certain things that are going to be new. If you're doing something for radio,
right,
then you know it's going to be processed like crazy when it goes out on the air. So then for that, I would lay it on a lot more thick.
Right.
It's going to be way more in your face.
Right. But how many people actually do that?
It's very, it's not too many. Not when you're getting started. When you're getting started, you're rarely going to be doing radio imaging or radio spots. You're mostly going to be doing, you know, auditioning for commercials and doing e-learning and that kind of stuff.
That's
Then it's just about clarity at the end of the day. Clarity, the processing, I'll leave with this. I don't know if you have anything else to say, but I'll leave it with this. But the processing should be unnoticed. I mean, you should never draw attention to itself, like unless it's being listened to by a trained engineer who knows exactly what he or she is hearing. It should not be something that's noticed at all by the end user. No one should ever go, whoa, that sounds really something or other. If they do, something's probably out of whack.
You've overdone it.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll set stacks for you. Don't do it yourself unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with experimenting.
No.
But if you're going to experiment, bounce it off somebody you trust. Let somebody get somebody else's impression about the sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, Adam Harrington has made his way all the way from Las Vegas, coming down 15 onto the 210 and making his way here into the valley.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Yeah. Or your feet are really tired, too. Do the old Fred Flintstone thing. Anyway, we'll be talking to him in just a minute. And so don't go away. We'll be right back after this message.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that?
That is BS about VO.
And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Well, we have a great show coming up tonight. But first, I got to tell you about something. VO2GoGo.com. Everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. VO2GoGo.com's voiceover curriculum is a 5-time winner of Backstage Magazine's Reader's Choice Award for Best Voiceover Classes and Best Voiceover Teacher, David H. Lawrence XVII. It's 36 classes online or in person across a year-long course featuring
featuring not just classes in the art of voiceover, but also in the commerce and science of running your voiceover business. And each month's class day includes a workout class for all participants. For November, VO2GoGo students will master Voice Bank, Voice Registry, and learn how to turn non-union voice work into union work. And then in December, they'll do a year-end tune-up, and you'll learn how to find a voiceover agent. We can probably talk to Adam Harrington about that, too. Get more details and sign up for the pro membership to save money at VO2, that's with a 2, gogo.com/VOBS. That's VO2GoGo.com/VOBS. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artiste. Thank you to David H. Lawrence XVII for helping us out here on VOBS. And now it is time to welcome our guest who got in his car this afternoon and started calling us saying, he's texting me from his car. I'm like, for crying out loud, do not hit the cactus on the way over here.
You guys are HD, aren't you?
We are.
Can I step back a little bit?
Just a little bit. Just look in the camera or look at me.
Larry, go get the Vaseline. Oh, wait, for the lens.
That could mean a lot of things.
Sorry.
Dan, George, it's an honor.
It is an honor to have you here. We've been looking forward to this.
I'm a big fan. And, of course, I came down. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Oh, outstanding.
I have a lot of damage control to do after you had Dave on last week. So let's get started.
Yeah. Okay, so you were in the Mideast. You were in, I get you were in Abu Dhabi. Tell us why you were there again and what you experienced and that sort of thing.
Boy, how much time do you have?
We have we got till the bottom of the hour. So
okay, well, I will try to be as succinct as possible, which is sometimes a challenge for me. It goes way back to late last year, 2014. A very indie developer, low budget stuff from Dubai, Tarek Gandour, approached me about voicing a character in his upcoming game. And this actually will sort of segue into some other stuff I want to talk about, but to keep it on point, Tarek and I quickly became buddies, and we continue to do remote sessions for his game, and that I'm now, kind of co-producing with him.
Yep.
And I'm always, hustling, always networking. And I really am looking to do more international work. And immediately I thought about, the Middle East, specifically the Gulf. I mean, I know that, the horn there from, you've got Dubai to Abu Dhabi, around to Qatar, Doha, and then up to Bahrain, even up to Kuwait. This is to say it's a burgeoning area is a tragic understatement. I mean, so much is going on there. It's becoming a huge melting pot. Dubai is now the most visited city in the world, overtaking New York City. And I, to my knowledge, I couldn't think of much, if any, VO and more specifically video game VO news coming out of the area. Mm-hmm. So I talked to Tarek, and he said, oh, yes, I know a ton of people. We have conventions out here. Let me see who I can talk to. And immediately I was put in touch with Hitesh at IGN Middle East. We worked out some of the ugly stuff with my manager. And then just a few months later, I get the call. We've got IGN Doha, which is in Qatar. Mm-hmm. And they signed me up. And the interesting thing, I'm sure you're gonna talk about Dave. Dave wasn't part of the original plan. It was just me. But, Dave and I are good buddies and have been since way back The Walking Dead, right when that started out. His big game with Telltale, I was one of the heavies. Spoiler alert, well, it depends on what the player chooses, but pretty much everybody chose to destroy me. But we became fast friends. I quickly became friends with his wife, Mo. And, I was transitioning in my own life and had been sort of fumfering about coming down here and really, taking it to the next level. And Dave and Mo were so amazing to me. And Dave immediately said, oh, my God, Doha Couture, how'd you do this? I'm so jealous. And I said, Dave, let me see what I can do. And by some kind of miracle and a lot of telemarketing experience in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk. That screensaver of Buffalo was giving me PTSD. No, I said, guys, Dave and I, we really jibe. We are together in countless games. Right now in Borderlands, we finally are like on the same team, partners in crime. But for the most part, we beat the crap out of each other. But we just seem to do well together, both in video games and in real life. And by the grace of the goddess, as my mother would say, they decided to take a chance on having both of us. Went great. I mean, the fans can pick it up, you know, when there's true chemistry, as I watched here a little earlier, that can't be faked. And the two of us, we get on stage, we give each other a little crap. We're tight, and it comes off, you know, on camera. So that, of course, snowballed into Bahrain, and then we just got back from Abu Dhabi, and I'm just getting started.
Oh, that's really, really cool. I've been to the Middle East. I haven't been to some of those Arab countries.
Really? Where'd you go?
Israel.
Okay.
I've been there many times.
It's
a wonderful place.
I'm curious, you know, because I'm always looking for new spots, and it's amazing. It seems that a big gaming convention or just all-around pop culture convention there's a new one popping up every week.
Oh, yeah.
And both of my parents, my stepfather and my mom, did a ton of travel professionally. And you know, it changed their outlook, changed their life. And I was lucky enough to do a little traveling with them, Belize and Africa and some Europe. And it's really a double-edged thing. I of course, want to get out there, get my brand going, and get, you know, all the followers and all the good stuff that comes along with that. But you know, there comes a point in your career. I've been doing this for almost 20 years where you start to look for, you know, bigger things, bigger impact you can make on the world other than just, you know, voicing that guy who
right.
killed that guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I love my job.
No.
But yeah, there's so much I could say about it, Dan. You'd essentially have me drifting off into all kinds of tangents.
Okay.
Bottom line,
yeah.
They signed me on. We did a great job. The fans immediately realized that we are approachable and very, very much appreciative of their, you know, right there in your face. Just love of your work, knowledge of your body of work, your meaning, me and Dave,
right.
And appreciation of it. And more importantly, appreciation that we are there, you know, with the misconceptions that we get from some media and just the lack of understanding or knowledge of other cultures can get in the way so much. But I'm telling you, other than maybe some cultural aspects and things as simple as clothing, underneath it all, these gamers are exactly the same as the gamers here. Shocker, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, at the risk of sounding a little grandiose, I would like to continue pushing to create communication with these gamers. I'm trying not to call them kids because, as Dave said last week, they're not all kids now.
But they were at one time.
Yeah, I was one of them and continued. I am a gamer, which helps in video game voiceover for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting started.
Yeah. Well, speaking of getting started, how did you get started in this wacky business in the first place? Give us a little bit of background.
Well, oddly enough, that ties into your story. I was a telemarketer for 15 years.
Really?
Yes. Please save your hate mail and then don't throw any
bricks. I only did it for a couple of days and said, screw this.
It is definitely an acquired taste, and you know, I eventually climbed the ladder, whatever horrible ladder that would be, to management. And you essentially go through phone people like toilet paper until you find one that can handle it, can handle the rejection. Now, wait, things are going to start sounding familiar. You need to find the people who can read a script, sound like they're not reading a script, be convincing enough to sell a service or product. Sound familiar?
You're the one that sold me those vitamins.
Oddly enough, no. I worked most of my career. I started doing magazine subscriptions and things like that. But at the end, I was doing firefighter associations, you know, PBA, things like that, big in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting gig. But certainly, it was great training for voiceover. I mean, I was speaking for sometimes 12 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah. I remember. It's like you got the script, and it's like, yeah, it's a script. They say keep to the script, but nobody does.
And the cool thing is, now, the character stuff, to break the monotony, yeah. I would even call some of my workers in if it was a bad day and we were at the end of a fund drive. Nobody was you know, making any sales. I would start calling people in different voices. How you doing there, man? This is awesome. This is Sheriff Bob Conroy. You know, I'm the guy that shows up when you call the police. If you want us to continue coming, why don't you go ahead and help the fellas out? Just kidding, man. Or, you know, I'd be working drives down the south and say we're with the volunteer firefighters and give us a little donation. We'll come power wash your windows for you. Just kidding, man. So that certainly helped as well. Yeah.
So you were in Buffalo or were ever in Rochester?
Well, my family, my people are from Shenango County, from Norwich. State. Yep, yeah. Right between Binghamton and, right. And Syracuse.
Along the Susquehanna there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Beautiful place. Yep. Summertime there is indescribable. It's great. Winter is a living hell for a California boy. Unless you like snow. No, I don't.
Not but anymore. That's why I'm here.
See? but no, the late 90s saw the advent, or at least, you know, caller ID really starting to take hold, and cell phones. And, you know, even though the telemarketers will get to you once in a while, a cell phone, it's a lot harder. So business started going down. I was looking for something new to do. My brother called me, a woman named Susan McCollum in Lafayette, California, up north. Was teaching voiceover classes. He said, you do these voices, you know, why don't you try it out? Bing, bang, boom, took the classes, demo, agent, and I'm sure everybody's heard this story before. Yeah.
Sounds somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
But, you know, but everybody's tax seems to be just a little bit different. And
well, I mean, I hate to cut you off, but you guys, this is, again, what you were talking about, the classic announcer voice. Right. I got into it right at the end of the 90s when this was still the thing.
Right.
And then immediately I'm thinking, well, I've got this great voice I got from my grandpa. I'll be doing movie trailers and commercials for the rest of my life. No, immediately, again, to quote my friend Dave Fenoy, the non-threatening white boy next door read suddenly came into vogue. And I didn't sound like the non-threatening white boy when I was a non-threatening white boy. I would call girls' homes at 14 years old and the father would be like, who is this man calling my daughter?
So now that you've been established in the business, doing it 20 years.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. What's your routine like? I take it you audition a lot. We know it's our job to audition as voice actors.
It's pretty much all of our job. Right. Pardon me, guys. I'm a little dehydrated.
You came from the desert. What can we say?
Yeah. Auditioning certainly, at least in my experience, is about 80% of your day. Yeah. If you're getting enough auditions, I used to sort of lament about it that, you know, I'm doing all these auditions, many of which, you know, depending on who's sending them to you, it seems like somebody closed their eyes and threw a dart at who they're going to call to try to get this cast. But I've embraced the fact that it's work, man. It is work. It's essentially you're reading working scripts right now, very current stuff. And if you don't book it, so what? You're still, you know, figuring it out.
Yeah. But you're also taking another turn on this now, because now you're starting to produce your own stuff. Tell us about that. What are you...
I did a little YouTube show with another voice actor up north, Eric Bra, in the booth with Adam and Eric. It sort of ran its course. And quite frankly, as you guys are probably figuring out, the workload, especially it was me. I mean, you know, Eric and I sort of wrote the show together, as it were. But I was editor, I was director, I was cameraman, I was crafts freaking services, and it got to be a bit much, yeah. But that being said, it was a great premise where we would have fans and gamers comment on the previous show, And our system was the most upvoted questions or comments would be addressed in the following show. And, you know, it seems that the interest in voice acting, particularly video game voice acting, is through the roof. I mean, you know, a lot of us voice actors, when we get together and nobody's listening, you know, like everybody, you know, we get, oh, I think I could do that. I can do what you do. I think I'll do that. Just want to reach across and smack them. You can be an astronaut, too, if you want. But no, I think the fact that games are getting easier and easier to make, or at least more accessibly, you know, available, is an exciting thing for me. It means more and more work, and we get more and more, we being the video game voice actors in the limelight, more and more of these emails like I got from Tarek saying, I don't have a lot of money. I really loved your work. I have this project. Please have a look. Tell me if maybe, you know, somewhere down the road we can pay you for your services. At the end of the day, if my manager didn't have me on a short leash, I'd just do everything for free because I love to do this. And some of the projects are cool and the kids are awesome, kids and young adults. But with my manager and some other voice actors bouncing things off them, like Dave, I said, well, why don't, instead of, you know, either turning the kid down flatly or demanding a certain amount of money, take a look at the project. If it looks interesting to you, and I am a gamer, so I actually can absorb some of the jargon and just the stuff that maybe folks who've never played video games don't quite get, where I can look at it and go, ooh, first-person shooter, open sandbox, oh, and the storyline's great. And if I'm interested, I'm in, man. And my manager and I will draw up contracts and talk about points on the back end, as opposed to one time and you're done fee. And thankfully, the gamers have gotten more savvy about the actors in their games. Guys like Troy Baker, Nolan North, Dave and I, Melissa Hutchison up north, Aaron Fitzgerald, you know, on and on and on. Roger Jackson, my hero. The names are becoming recognizable, and as with motion pictures or television, a name could sell a game, or at least help. And I've got four of them going now, yeah.
That's amazing. So it's really, it's like, you know, the Hollywood movie business was where stars were made, and now world media is really going to games and online content and stuff like that.
And I couldn't be happier.
We're all making a living doing that now. It's makes life a lot easier.
I may need to ask, how's your Russian accent? Because I probably have some audition.
I've done the Russian soldier.
This is how things are done, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Let me talk to you afterwards.
Okay, fabulous.
James Booth, write this down. Dan Leonard. Yeah. Well, what's funny is, again, back to you guys talking about the classic announcer voice. Now it seems the only time they want to use a voice like mine is to make fun of it. Like, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if it's a gig, it's a gig, and I'll do it. But still, I got into this business with no aspirations of video game VO. In fact, George mentioned, you know, that VO back when I got into it in games was just awful. I mean, awful.
Yeah.
Literally, Bob from the mailroom would come in and voice the main character in this game.
A YouTube channel, or at least I've seen a video that's just nothing but a compilation of all 50 the horrible.
Worst. Yeah, 50 yeah, worst, 50 and, worst. And they really are bad.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But, you know, as these gamers have aged and their tastes have become more refined, they expect a little more.
Because it's entertainment. I mean,
acting.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is
acting at the end of the day. And if you get someone who has no classic training or just really no idea what they're doing other than reading a script, Jill, you being the master of lick-pogging, lock-picking, that's a classic one from Resident Evil. So, you know, I think things are coming full circle. And I certainly am not going to shy away from the notoriety I got from the Wolf Among Us from Telltale Games, nominated for a BAFTA and some other stuff. Certainly I'm going to use that. And use it with my co-producers of these games to get the game out there, get people to notice, and get it sold.
Yeah. Are there different agents that are really dealing with the video gaming market now, as opposed to, you know, the standard commercial agents that are doing that kind of thing? Is it becoming a very diversified business?
It's, you know, right now, I think nobody really knows what's going on. There's this whole looming specter of this strike, you know. But I talk about this a lot with other voice actors, particularly ones who do a lot of work in video games, is agents are having trouble. I shouldn't be so general, but most agents are having trouble keeping up with the technology, the culture, the streaming, which is key. And just the nuances of gaming VO that make it vastly different than other genres of voiceover, including animation. Gaming is a whole other animal. And I honestly see, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30, 50 years in the future, a lot of these genres sort of melding into one, like motion pictures, video games, interactive stuff. I mean, the games that Dave and I did where we got all the accolades, his was The Walking Dead, where I was a bad guy, and mine, The Wolf Among Us, where he was a bad guy. They are more interactive storytelling than interactive shoot 'em up, you know, mindless, you know, time killer.
Right. The commercials that I see for the stuff on PS2 or
PS4. PS4. You don't want the gamers to kill you.
it shows you the last time I watched TV. But you know, things like these first person shooters, and you know, the guy's delivering a pizza and the guy's like, hey, I'm taking these guys. They're great commercials. They really are.
They're putting.
Is that really the environment that the game is like? I'm not a gamer myself. I mean,
I'm not quite sure what you're asking, but as far as the trailers and commercials
are authentic to the game. It's no longer cinematics. You're really seeing the game play out.
Right? Actual gameplay on screen. Cinematic. Yeah, where it used to be, they would focus. They being the developers or folks who build the game, they would put all their eggs into those cutscenes, you know, where there's no interactive play going on.
Right.
Something to move the story along.
Right. Yeah. This is your mission.
Right. That sort of thing. Right. And that's when suddenly the CGI gets really, really, you know, pretty, and the writing and the acting and everything is played out. But now that's, you know, sort of stretching into the whole thing now. And it's awesome. I hate to admit, but I'm not gaming as much as I used to. That's going to change soon. But certainly if you want to specifically make it in video game voice acting, you've got to stay up on top of things. You have to interact with the fans, which I love doing. So that's almost not work to me.
Right.
But just staying on top of things. I think you guys will be the first I'm announcing. I'm talking to some of the higher ups at Twitch, and I'm hoping to be streaming once I get down here 100% with my feet on the ground,
Twitch.
Get my blue screen.
I know what Twitch is.
Yes.
Explain Twitch.
Twitch TV is a streaming service, kind of like your streaming service. They are specializing in gaming. PewDiePie, I'm sure you guys have heard these names. My buddy Sky Williams, my friends, all my League of Legends friends, which is a huge MOBA, massive online battle arena. I was actually just in Vegas to sort of host and mill around with the pro players and the fans at GameWorks in Vegas for the League World Finals, which was in Paris. And I think there were in an arena of 40,000 watching a video game. Yep.
Wait a minute. All right, let's imitate people watching a video.
No. It's not. These kids are going nuts like they're watching the Super Bowl.
Really?
The problem is, I'm in this game. My characters will be on screen, and yeah. I'm looking. I see nothing, and the entire arena starts screaming, and I'm like, what happened? But these are real technical video games. But, you know, they last year, Riot sold out the Staples Center, I think, in 30 minutes. Or the League World, yes.
I mean,
this is not going away.
I was a gamer back in the day, and I'm blunt.
In Korea, my game League of Legends is it's aired on national television games as though you're watching a soccer game or a football game. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. If any of you have questions for Adam Harrington talking about video gaming and all sorts of other cool stuff, because you do commercials and you do other stuff, don't you?
I do. I it's funny, you know. My theory is the business will take you where it wants you to go and not the other way around. I honestly did get in, you know, like everybody else, thinking, hey, I'm going to be the next Don LaFontaine. I have yet to voice one movie trailer. Certainly, I do commercials and even some animation stuff. But I got to say, my passion is in gaming. Right now, at this moment, my passion, above all, is voicing characters, but also now getting my feet wet, putting on different hats and casting and directing and getting exciting people involved. Like we had Jack Gleason, King Joffrey from Game of Thrones, with us in Abu Dhabi as one of the guest celebs. Beautiful kid, by the way. And he deals so well with the fans. You know, they don't quite get it that an actor is not the character sometimes. I don't know if you guys do Game of Thrones. I don't watch it much, but I know this character was one of the most hated in history, which is an accomplishment to me. I mean, that means he did his job.
Right. But people love seeing him at a conference.
Yeah, and he was great. In fact, a fan asked him to say happy birthday or something to her as his character, and it was amazing to watch his face just transform into this evil king. And I said, I got to get this kid in my game. And I asked him, I said, what are you up to? He said, nothing. I said, well, and he actually opened to me. He said, I'm getting into voiceover. I'm going to start making demos. I said, let me send you some scripts. And I'm going to try real hard to get him into one of my games, Outreach, which is the one I'm going to talk to you about,
right.
The Russian space station game.
Oh, that sounds like lots of fun. Be a number of people on a space station. Always wanted to be there. Again, if you got a question for Adam, throw it in the chat room, and our fantastic chat room moderator, Anthony Gettig, out there in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Wow, Kalamazoo.
We got people everywhere.
There's an actual Kalamazoo.
There is an actual Kalamazoo. I actually drove near it once. And
I thought the guys at Warner Brothers made that up.
No. You just said you actually drove near it.
Near it, I did. No, I said that very deliberately.
Dan was Kalamazoo adjacent.
I was, absolutely. Anthony is now sucking down a beer, going, you're crazy. Anyway, if you got a question for Adam, throw it in there, and we will get it on here. We'll talk directly to our chat room audience in just a moment. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Or stay right there, Marcus.
Yeah, or VO.
BS.
Hey, now.
This game contains scenes of graphic violence and extreme gore.
Kate McCormick, Special Agent Smith.
All right, McFly, let's go see the boss.
5 minutes to Porto Arusha.
We're ahead of schedule. The arc reactor is nearly complete.
Boy, this bacon is tasty.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
You belong with the stars. I'll take you to Hollywood.
Assassin! There's an assassin here!
You following me, boy?
Hey, that's our boy. What are you doing?
I've been working on some really hot riffs.
Got something for me?
I'm sorry, Maria, but this is the best we could do.
And then I'm gonna cut you open and choke you with your intestines.
Vai embora! Você não tem nada para fazer aqui!
Please, don't do it again.
Take this scroll and stick it somewhere safe.
What's gotten into you?
I must apologize, Boat.
Did you send for me, Mr. Rockwell?
Three wood! So good of you to join.
Rough work around that old oracle, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Heartbreak makes you do crazy things.
People that crawl down the street. I watched my brother turn into a zombie.
Keep it moving. Nothing to see here.
Hola, I'm Moose, and that's my boy Santina.
Heads up, team. We're going in.
Encounter all kinds of people. Heavy and metal.
There's a balcony, and you can watch the parades from there.
Where does it come from?
On the coast of Virginia, near the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay.
Steel your will, be strong, and let no one see you.
Sure, a little pressure on the family's good for both of us.
I found it!
Why so serious?
I'm sick of this place.
No, never. You're wasting your time.
The King of Route 66!
Ah, Terry.
He's still alive.
He trained soldiers in Limassol Castle. A real brute.
I'll put you in my book.
We picked up a car in Jersey, traced it to Fredo.
Farewell, Taya.
Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Adam Harrington is our guest.
Hey now.
And we were talking about video game voicing. Now, that was your demo reel. Now, what went into that?
A lot of red shirts and a few main characters. I made that reel, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. As I was saying to the guys,
and things have changed a great deal since.
Yeah, and some big characters I need to get on there. Again, like a contractor who builds your house, those guys tend to finish their house up last. The beautiful reel that I made for Dave you saw last week.
Yeah,
some of the ones I'm really proud of. Lonnie Manella, I don't know if you guys know Lonnie. She is one of the most, if not the most talented voice actor, character actors I've ever met. I was lucky enough to build hers and Roger Jackson, who is, forget it. It's very discouraging to know that I'm going against him for almost every character. He's just out of his mind brilliant.
It's like you're trying to sell him and make him look as good as possible. And on the other hand, you're going, oh my, what am I doing?
Yeah, there's like, you know, these Freudian issues sort of bashing into each other. But no, Roger's amazing. The worst part is he's so sweet, you can't even hate on him for being so damn talented.
Yeah. So what does it take to really be a great video game voicer? What do you think are some of the characteristics that you need to have?
You need to be a gamer, at least know the genre. It's funny. I went in and did a gig up in Vegas, and It every time it's a new client, they obviously feel like they have to explain to you what's going on. Now, this game in particular was emotes. There wasn't one word spoken. And immediately I knew what we were going to do because I've done this a million times. But he started to tell me, okay, so we have to sort of convey things through grunts. And I said, yeah, we're doing emotes. And he's like, yeah. And he said, okay, so we're going to start. I said, we're going to do attacks. We're going to do taking damage. We're going to do kills. We're going to do character select screen. And he was like, yeah, okay, let's go. And he booked me for 2 hours and we were done in a half an hour. And as you guys know, I mean, if you can solve a problem, if you can go in there and get it done as quickly as possible, you know, be on time, be brilliant, be gone, they're going to call you back. And certainly grasping the fact that you'll never do ensemble stuff, and if you do, it'll be the exception that proves the rule. You're never going to be able to bounce off another actor the way you can in other genres of VO and obviously on-camera stuff, because they have to be able to lift these lines most times and place them in different parts of the game. And just knowing things like proximity. For instance, The Wolf Among Us, the game that I was mentioning earlier, that Dave is the bad guy in, and I'm the main character for Telltale. Very story-driven, very dialogue-heavy. A lot of the proximity is just right here, like you and me. Mm-hmm. Telltale loves realness. They don't want loud cartoonishness. So you've got to grasp that, okay, this is the way I need to do this and keep it up, maintain it, hold on to the vibe and the feeling. As opposed to a game like League of Legends, where It is all one proximity. It's generally me to your door, which is, what, about 10 feet. So you're not screaming, but you're saying it loud enough to say, I will kill you, and holding it up and keeping, you know, pretty much a steady tone and pace and everything else. So you need to know how games differ, how the VO is going to be used. A big, big part of it is emotes. You have to be able to know your instrument. I hate saying that, but it's true.
Hey, it's
you have to know your instrument enough to know how far you can push it.
Right.
I hear a lot of actors complain, you know, oh my God, they, you know, they're tearing my throat apart and they're asking too much of me and not paying me enough. But the problem is, if you open your mouth and you say, okay, if you guys want me to give you a great performance, and you want me to come out of here saying I had a great experience with you, you want everything to go smoothly, let's not do ABCs of me on fire jumping off a building. Let's do one. All right. If I don't get it, fine. We'll do it again. And then it's up to you to know just how far to push it without destroying this.
Yeah. Very interesting. Now you're starting to coach now too, and you're teaching this kind of stuff or?
I used to resist the teaching stuff just because I have this horrible affliction of no bullshit. and it's incurable. And sometimes, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, I hate to burst the bubble, but sometimes people just aren't going to, they're just never going to make it no matter what. But that being said, I have to remind myself that people are also taking these classes just for, you know, something to do, something fun, trying something out. And you know, the cream will always rise to the top. But gaming, again, as you can probably tell, I have a passion for, and now especially casting games, casting for video games, tuning my ear to listen to other actors other than myself and female actors and younger actors. It all excites me. So when I teach video game voice acting because it's what I know best. I'm glad you asked, though, because nothing's written in stone, and I'm still feeling out different options. But going back to the Middle East, I'm planning in the very near future, perhaps even starting next year, spending at least 2 months a year in the Gulf. And to make that feasible and to, you know, sort of fund these trips, I'll be coaching. And a lot of what I hear from Middle Eastern actors, particularly voice actors, is that they are not being well represented in games. I mean, you will hear a guy from Egypt, you know, cast as a guy from Bahrain. And sure, maybe folks here in L.A., they may not notice the nuances, but the entire Arab world is like, this is ridiculous. This is an Egyptian guy playing a Bahraini. And these little things like this, I think, make a huge difference, especially with the savvy fans and the Arabic-speaking fans.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out there and try to build me up a stable of amazing Middle Eastern video game voice actors. Watch out, world.
Wow. That's fascinating. Okay, we got a question here that was mailed into us.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody who knew you were going to be on the show wanted to make sure you got this question asked. And again, if you've got a question, make sure that that Anthony gets it in the chat room so we can talk to Adam about it. This is how do you maintain your godly voice? Are there vocal exercises that they can do? P.S. Hey now.
Hey now.
Love, Ryby.
That is my girl, Ryby. I sort of peeked over, so I love you, hon. How do I maintain the voice of God? You gargle whiskey and broken glass and chew on cigarettes. I mean, everybody knew
that. Is
that
what God does? I'm kind of wondering.
God does whatever he wants.
That's right.
Essentially, genetics, as far as I know. My grandpa, Bud Kroger, upstate New York, his entire life, insurance salesman, also played Santa Claus on the radio every Christmas, reading kids' letters to WCHN. His own kids, my mom and my three uncles, didn't know it was grandpa. They'd listen. So certainly it's genetics. But as you guys pointed out, this voice of God thing now is not necessarily a huge advantage and sometimes can be a disadvantage. I will get auditions for juicy national TV spots, and without fail, it says no deep voice, no gravelly announcer radio guys. And I tend to, you know, try to get up here, and it never sounds genuine. It always sounds forced.
Yeah. What about documentary work? And are you doing much of that?
I did a few things for Discovery Channel, mostly video game stuff, making of stuff. I've got a few things up on my YouTube channel. You know, I'm signed with Abrams now down here, which is one of the bigger voiceover agencies. Once I'm done with all this traveling around the world shenanigans and
doing my side
project, absolutely, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I'm now looking to go to other continents that, you know, selfishly I want to go to just because I want to go and meet amazing people. And you know, I want to make it clear before I go on, when all is said and done with the stuff in the Middle East, my three trips, three being the beginning, I am going to do a lot more. Sure, you know, the gamer aspect and the conventions and just the coolness of it all and the immediate gratification of these kids right in my face thanking me for my work and me thanking them right back. Just the people as a whole. I like to consider myself a nice, healthy, Berkeley, Oakland, California radical hippie. Mm-hmm. Who is above being manipulated by media and the whole Fox News thing. I'm sorry if you're not a big hippie guy. But the deal is, don't believe what you see. Go and see for yourself. I am making some of the most amazing friends right now. Lifelong friends, I'm sure. The folks at IGN, Nick and Hitesh. My friend Bara, who's helping me move beyond just the video game convention thing and into some of the coaching and meeting developers and animators. I just did my first work on the Middle East's first feature-length animated film. Cool. And I'm really excited about it. The people there, I just had to make sure I got that out of the way, made me feel so welcome, were the complete opposite of what everyone was warning me about. You know, be careful out there and... You know, don't do this or don't do that or no one will ever see you again. Quite frankly, I'm from the East Oakland. I am from the ghetto and I feel a lot safer any part of Bahrain than I ever did in my hometown. But I still love my hometown. But what I'm saying is take everything with a grain of salt. I see that Troy Baker and Nolan North are expressing interest in going out. I think that's great. But my advice to you guys is go all in. Don't just go to a fancy hotel and come out and sign autographs, get to know the people, get to know the gamers, because I think especially with the advent of online gameplay, young people from the West and the Middle East, interacting with no sort of media filter to manipulate things. These kids are getting to know that they have so much more in common than they have apart. I want to be a part of that, and it makes me feel, you know, like I'm doing a little more than making silly voices.
You're bringing about world peace.
Well, I'm trying. I'm not going to be that ridiculous about it, but I'm trying to help, and I think this is a legitimate way to heal some of the wounds that have been, you know, bleeding for 15 years now.
Yeah. We've been getting any questions there, George, from the chat room?
Taking a look right now. They're not showing up in the chat room.
I'm bummed because
they're totally immersed in what you're saying.
I asked a lot of my Middle Eastern friends that I met, but I realize it's the middle of the night. Yeah, they're not waking up.
Yeah, really.
This show's watched mostly in reruns because of everybody.
Oh,
it's a DVR world, man. It's a YouTube world.
I was hoping to hear from Amy Fisher.
Yeah,
she has
so named
four questions.
Where the heck are you, Amy Fisher?
Really?
She's not here tonight.
Oh, that's why.
She probably went to see a movie.
Yeah. But she'll watch this in reruns.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so it's fascinating talking to, you know, to you about this and seeing how this entire genre has become so prominent. I mean, it's fun watching in this business. You know, first we all started with commercials and then audiobooks were really hot. But this seems to be really where it's going.
I just saw a question come in.
Oh, a question.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't show up in the chat. I don't know if something's going on with the rundown and they're going into two different places, but anyway.
Maybe all my fans crashed your
Yeah, we quite possibly got overloaded and we crashed the server. We broke it. No, we got one that came in from question for Adam. This one came in from, I know I saw it. Where the heck did it come from? Yenny Alvarez.
Oh, Yenny.
And yes.
Hello, Yenny.
We love Yenny.
How do you interact with your audience? My character, Lieutenant Morales, was released 2 weeks ago, and it's pretty popular. What do you suggest for PR and interacting with audience if you're not a major gamer? Okay, so if you don't already have that gaming community, how do you reach out to the gaming community?
Oh, okay.
From the outside.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. So this is a voice actor who just had a character released.
Mm-hmm.
My advice is to do what I did, which is start going to chat rooms. Definitely go if your game has a forum section at their website. Absolutely go in there.
Hey, say I'm Yenny and I'm the voice of whatever.
Yeah, and you'll be amazed.
No problem doing that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing Yenny.
But no, really, the fans really, really appreciate it when you take the time to talk to them. And with Telltale Games, I still go in their forums. I recently interviewed the creator of Fables, which was the comic that my game, The Wolf Among Us, was based on. Bill and I have become fast friends since. But these fans really, really appreciate when you take the time to interact with them, even if it's through typing, as long as it's one-on-one. And they're fans for life. And I don't even like calling them fans. It's just gamers. They're more peers to me. And their feedback is invaluable. They will defend you to the end if you just take the time to let them know you appreciate that they appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, it's important to really make that contact with people, and it makes you more real, and that's the most
accessible
and accessible
and appreciative. And again, some gamers are so savvy, and they can smell BS. Sorry, no pun intended. They can smell BS a mile away. And if you show up at a convention and there's a line of people and you're signing autographs and you go, "What's your name?" Okay, sign it, give it to them. People are going to remember that, you know?
And what fun is that if you're going to act like that? You know, you want to be with the people and get what they're thinking.
I could never wrap my head around it. It's like the organizers end up getting mad at me every time because I want to go out on the floor. I want to talk to the fans.
You're taking up too much time.
Well, no, they worry. Now there's insurance. Like, you know, like somebody's going to come kidnap me. They don't understand. When I walk 5 feet away from this convention, no one gives a hell who I am. Suddenly, I'm going... Why is nobody asking for my autograph?
I found some more questions. Oh. They were up at the top of the. They got put in the wrong place.
That would explain a lot.
So
all right,
we got a few of them came in. We got from Adam. Are you doing or going to do motion capture?
I already have. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did some for Evolve last year at 2K, and Dave and I again cast together in a major game coming up that I can't tell you what it is. I couldn't even post pictures of me in the mocap suit, which actually is probably for the best.
It's like that.
That's the thing. A lot of times,
the skin tight suit with the little dots on it.
It's cool and it looks cool, but the problem is, generally, the voice actor, you know, me, will be cast with a bunch of mocap actors, which are young, beautiful, in shape actors and actresses. So it's me, like in a sausage casing. Beautifully chiseled actors. But you know what? It is so much like playing when you were a kid. I mean, for the Evolve stuff, they gave me this big fake gun, and I'm jumping off of stools and shooting giant monsters, and I'm thinking, I'm getting paid for this. This is ridiculous. The mocap's fun, but that's going to be another thing that I'm going to need to work on myself, and that's blocking and on-camera stuff that I ignored my whole career.
Physical acting, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and it's the real deal. I mean, this poor kid, he was playing the main character, at least one of them in the scenes. He is tied to his chair, and my character is this sort of mobbed-up guy. And my job is to intimidate him and then lift a mallet and smash his hand. The photography director, and there was a language barrier. He didn't speak a lot of English, But I tried to keep telling him. He wanted me to hit the guy with my left hand, and I said, I'm right-handed. Well, it works better for the shot if you do it with your left. I said, but you understand it's not going to look organic. So I decided, all right, what the hell? I'm an actor. I don't complain. I do what I'm told. So I'm you know, I apologize for the misogynist term, but this is the only way I can put it into words is when we were kids, they say you throw like a girl. Well, with my left hand, I was definitely throwing like a girl. Right. And the guy's like, this does not look intimidating at all. I said, I told you, I'm right-handed. Meanwhile, this poor actor who was a trooper, there was a lead bar or some kind of steel bar wrapped with a tiny little bit of padding. And I was smashing his hand because I told them, first they gave me this weightless piece of foam. And he said, it doesn't look right. I said, well, there's no weight.
That's right.
I was being difficult. But the poor guy, man.
So method, man.
I think I broke his hand. I'm sorry, bro.
Well, you see the blood dripping off. This is getting a little too real.
What do we do for our craft?
That's right.
There's another one from Samuel Fleming. He said, will Adam hire a person off of a commercial demo if they don't have a character demo?
Well, if you mean casting for games, I'm going to need a character demo.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, there could be a character who sounds exactly like one of your commercial reads, but odds are no. I mean, if you want to get into gaming, not only do you need a character demo, these days you need a gaming-specific demo that includes emotes, preferably at the end, and really sell the emotes, because this is becoming a big, big part of gaming is... again, with the strike coming up, there's going to be limits, I think, is what SAG is asking for. But I kind of pride myself on being able to go in there and just give them what they want and just give it everything, walk out to where I can't talk anymore. I know that's probably not the wisest thing to do, but that's my thing.
Yeah.
On a related note, Jeremy Stone says, if video game voiceover is all you want to do, should you still start off with a commercial demo?
Yes, you're never, well, I shouldn't say never, but it's... not very likely you're going to get signed to a notable agent without the commercial demo. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what they're going to hire you on.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And finally,
Catherine, we got two more. Catherine and Nathan Cundiff.
Right. Well, Catherine was asking about the strike, and we talked about that briefly.
Cool.
I try not to chime in on things I don't know a whole lot about.
Right.
You got to remember, I'm from the Bay Area where. You know, the union stuff, there's not a lot of it available. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I don't know how they would work out a way to factor in percentages and points on the back end for individual actors on games. I mean, it's not exactly cut and dry like it would be for a film.
Right.
That being said, you know, I'm kind of just cutting out the middleman and going and then talking to developers and getting my own points.
Well, there you go. Nathan Cundiff asks, are your coaching sessions local or online? You doing them live, or you're doing stuff on VoIP and camera and stuff? Or?
I've done a few Skype sessions. I'm real. It's funny. I was watching you guys talk, and it's like watching two mechanics talk, or a mechanic telling me what's wrong with my car. Immediately, everything goes over my head, and I'm like,
"We've achieved our goal then today."
Right? No. I think I'm the one voice actor who has zero aspirations to be an engineer. I want to leave that up to the
one voice actor. No, you're not alone.
You're in the majority.
Yeah, I'll have clients say, "What kind of mic do you use?" And I'll go, "A silver one." As long as it sounds okay. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you do them online or local?
I've done some online sessions. It's always better to be in person. Sure. I'm not cut and dry. Most of the classes I've taught to this point have been for Susan McCollum, who taught me. She's up in the Bay Area, and those are in person and in her beautiful studio. In the Middle East, I'm hoping to actually get into some universities and some colleges and boy, some of the there's Carnegie Mellon in Doha. There's so much amazing stuff going on there that I had no idea. Most of us don't know. This place is ready to explode, and I certainly want to be a part of it.
Outstanding. Well, Adam, it has been a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine.
It's always interesting hearing about this new marketplace that's just really burgeoning and loaded with opportunity for those that want to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I get the question every day, how do I get into voice acting? There's only one real answer, and that's to work your butt off. Read out loud. Expand your stable of characters. You're never going to stop learning. You're never going to stop growing. If you do, then go find something else to do. And that the work includes networking. It includes the hard stuff. And, of course, auditioning. People tend to, those that aren't quite in the industry don't understand that our work, when the clock is running and we're being paid, is an infinitesimal little part of our day.
Yeah.
Everything that we do to get that gig, that's the real work. And if you're not committed, you're not in 100%, unless your uncle runs Rockstar Games, it's probably not going to work for you. It's hard work. That's how you get there.
All right. All right. Well, thanks again. And George, you're going to tell us a little bit about Source Connect, and then we'll wrap things up in a nice tight bow.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
There's one more thing. He has one more thing.
I wanted to give a shout out to my friend, Kay Taylor Park, who's also a friend of George's, and give a plug for her site. She's amazing. It's kaytaylorparker.com. Hi, Kay. I got called to the Middle East and had to bail out on a session, which I feel horrible about. But she's an amazing human being, and we love you, Kate.
Oh, my God. My mind's blown that we have her in common.
Small world.
Love you, Kay. All right, cool. We'll be right back. I'm going to run a spot, then I'm going to take a breather.
All right.
It's hot in here.
Yeah.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Voice Over Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to how to market your voiceover business, to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
Okay, well,
we are back, and I wanted to get this spot in at the very end. Sorry to keep you guys waiting. Source Elements, our friends at Source Elements, they make the amazing Source Connect software. If you're not familiar with Source Connect, what it does is it allows you to connect to another recording studio in real time, Skype-like, except the sound quality is totally broadcast,
much better,
professional, you know, full stream quality audio, the best you can get. And it's, you know, on par and or better than ISDN quality. So that's what Source Elements can provide to you. They can do it in a couple different ways. They have Source Connect, which is the product they've been developing for years now, and it's the most commonly used in studios these days. Fantastic quality, a great backup or alternative for ISDN, and for those that can't get ISDN, which is happening more and more and more, Source Connect is definitely taking off. I don't know if I'm talking out of school here, but I know that CBS, for example, has gone to using Source Connect almost entirely this year in their studios. There's also Source Connect Now, which is the free Source Connect that just runs on Google Chrome. So anybody that wants to connect to another studio or a client as a nice alternative to a phone patch, they want to hear you at full quality. You can send them a link to your Source Connect Now page, and you guys can link up and talk and hear each other at full quality. It's really, really fantastic. And with super, super low latency, lower than even a cell phone call. Believe me, I know, it's quite remarkable. So if you want to check them out, go over to sourceelements.com. You can see all their products, their different services. And if you want to learn more about how to get her up and running, I also provide help with setup, and if you purchase it through vostudiotech.com, I'll hold your hand through the setup process for you and kind of walk you through a couple of the little hurdles some people find when they're learning how to use it. So that's sourceelements.com. Thanks again for your support, everybody, and we're back.
Yeah. latency is so low, they hear you before you even say it.
They hear you before you think it.
That's right.
That's low latency.
It's like the most interesting man in the world. He knows what you're going to say.
Right.
Anyway, well, it's time to wrap things up into a nice tight little bow here tonight. We want to thank all sorts of people, especially our donors, who allow us to do the show and bring you amazing people like Adam Harrington to tell you about what they do and how you can do it. So who are some of our donors from this week?
Well, we had Eric Aragone.
Who? Oh, Eric. Yes, Eric, of course. Okay.
Don Griffith. Martha Kahn.
Martha.
Shanna Pennington Baird. Uncle Roy.
Of Antland.
Buddy, Uncle Roy. Thanks, Uncle Roy. Diane Birdsall.
Diana, yes.
Michael Martin. And Patrick Sweeney.
Sweeney.
All these folks we know in real life.
Sorry about those Blue Jays there, Patrick.
Now we know all these people in real life. They're friends. They're people that we've worked with. It's so cool to have their support.
That's what I love about this community.
Yeah.
The show logs. Adam had a lot to say tonight, and they're right up there. Jack DeGolia has been sitting there taking down every word of this, and you can get that just by going over to our website or just looking above us and clicking on the show logs. And of course, we put that with the YouTube feed as well.
That's right.
And let's see what else.
We also have there's a couple ways to get the show, right? So some of you, the majority of you are probably watching this on YouTube right now.
Right.
Right.
On our site.
Or watching it on the site. But if you don't know this, you can watch it totally live. Okay. This show is live. It is shot live. And it is, this camera. It is totally live. I'm switching the cameras.
It's this one.
It's totally live, and we, as you can tell, warts and all. And if you want to be here live so you can be in the chat room to make it a really interactive show, go to vobs.tv at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Is that still 1 o'clock UTC?
I think it's minus 7 now.
GMT. Minus 7 GMT.
I don't know.
You look it up.
As long as I show up for the session in London at the right time.
Exactly. But you can tune in live. It's a lot of fun to be here live for sure. Yeah. We also have the podcast version of the show, which is audio only. I know a lot of you folks like to consume it that way because it's a long show.
Right.
It's on iTunes, on Podbean, and whatever podcatcher app you use on your phone. Just type in VOBS. You'll find it.
You'll find us. All right. I'd like to thank our sponsors, of course. Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com. VoiceOver Extra for helping us with the news.
Mm-hmm.
Edge Studios, your employers.
My fair employers.
And Source Elements for bringing us Source Connect and the great stuff they do. And Rehearsal App and David H. Lawrence, the 17th for tonight. It was VO2GoGo.
That's right. One of David's other enterprises.
That's right. But we thank them for helping us maintain this bandwidth that allows us to send this high definition show. In what is it, 720 or 180?
720.
720.
We're taking it easy on the people with the low bandwidth internet connection. Right. It's not going to go all the way up to 1080p.
Those of you still on a dial-up modem. anyway.
Maxine Dunn coming up on
Maxine Dunn. The lovely Maxine Dunn will be with us next week from where she is, which I can never remember where.
Coming from Denver area.
Denver, that's right.
I believe.
She's in
Colorado. I know she moved, but I think she's still in Colorado.
Yeah, I believe she'll be joining us from Colorado. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'd like to thank our wives, especially my wife, Marcy, who is now doing the early production work with us so we can actually go through the rundown and know what it is we're going to do during
the
show.
She's forcing us to check the rundown.
She sticks her head and goes, now, go through the rundown. She goes back in the house and feeds the dogs.
She's helping us be a producer. That's great.
And we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And your wife, Amy, for helping us with our social media stuff.
That's right.
And, of course, our producer, Catherine Curran, for getting us amazing guests like Adam Harrington. And Anthony Getting for helping us out in the chat room tonight. You guys are amazing in there. Shelley Avellino on occasion. And our stage manager tonight, Larry Hudson. Get a shot of Larry.
Get a shot of Larry.
Let's see.
There
we go.
There's Larry.
There he is.
Hey, Larry. All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. And good thing with a small crowd tonight because it's warm in here and cold outside.
Exactly.
It's like a hot day in June in Buffalo out there tonight. It's like in the 60s.
I just couldn't stand the idea of running the air conditioner when it's colder outside than it is in here. But it does warm up after a while.
It's warming up in here. We got a lot of lights in here.
A lot of LED lights.
Yes. We have more people that are coming on. Actually, next week, we have Maxine Dunn. We're going to do a roundtable on something on the 17th. We'll have to figure that one out. All right. November 30th, Andrea Toyas at Blizzard Studios.
Oh, cool. Someone from, wow, it's like video game month around here.
I know.
It's cool.
We'll talk about some other stuff eventually. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun. And
that just came in.
That just came
literally
in right now. She's like on the phone. I got to get another guest.
She's fantastic.
Typed it right in there. All right. And Jack DeGoli, of course, for the show notes, for taking down every last word that we say.
If you want to volunteer, or if you just want to be in the audience or just be here to hang out with us during the show,
email us.
Email the guys.
The guys at VOBSBS.TV.
Yeah.
That's right. And that will get you here and in sweating in here with us. Which sounds kind of weird.
We might even have snacks.
Yes. We definitely have some snacks. Mm-hmm. Good ones, too. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're on this camera right now.
So
right?
Switch cameras?
Wait a second. Switch cameras.
And boom.
Now we're switching cameras.
And
okay.
Boom.
What?
And boom.
What? Okay.
It's not as easy as it looks.
I know. The tally lights are next.
Tally lights. Figure how to do that.
Someone's just going to hang up. We're going to have Larry there with a flag.
Exactly.
You're on this camera. You're on that camera. That'll probably work. That's probably how they did it before anyway.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you next week. And I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver Body Shop, or VO.
BS.
All right. Hey, we got a Mugman coming up right after the show, so stay tuned for that. We'll be seeing you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.
Later.
She'll be here any minute, sunshine. Sunshine, here she comes! Sunshine? Sunshine.